the great Kahan Joshua Hawkins.
Praise Yahweh. Everyone can be seated. To follow up with the announcement that the great Kahan made about the gold for this feast, you have to understand exactly what it's bringing forth. You have to remember what gold represents. The gold representing being refined. Remember, being refined as gold. Right? That's the process we're going through right now. The testing and the trials we go through in Yahweh's house. That's where it brings us to a point to where Yahweh looks at us and says we're ready to receive that crown of righteousness. And that crown of righteousness is gold. That's what the gold represents. And that's what we're working for. And that's what we're going to represent. That's what we're going to show forth at this time. You know, remember last Passover? All right, we've seen in the clouds a woman washing Yahshua's feet. Right, washing the feet of the high priest. That was us. That's showing that this house, even though we fall, even though we stumble, even though we step on each other's toes, Yahweh is working with each and every one of us to get us to the point to where we can be used in Yahweh's work forever. Being refined as gold, and that's what it's going to represent. And make sure you have every opportunity to go to the men's general store and the women's general store. Women will have the dresses. Men, you'll have ties and vests. Make sure you go and obtain these things, you know, so we're all dressed, we're ready. We're ready to show Yahweh that, yes, this is the character we're putting on, the character of Yahweh. All right, and if we can't afford it, well, let's get rid of the alcohol, let's get rid of the cigarettes, okay? Let's get these things out of our lives, the thing that's keeping us from achieving the goals we're looking for. Whether it be the entertainment or anything else, let's get it out. The time is now to make ourselves right with Yahweh, to receive that crown of righteousness, and that's what we have to work for. Praise Yahweh. I'm going to start off here. I'm going to start off by covering a news article. This is mainly going to be, the topic is going to be the lack of character education in these last days, showing forth, remember in Genesis chapter 49, he was showing forth what it would end, what the latter end would be like, what it would be like in the last days, the characteristics of those tribes, what we see forth in these last days. Well, this is a news article showing exactly that characteristic that comes from a mixture of righteousness and evil. You may have heard about it last year, but this was in Florida, and this article was written on 1-3 of 2013. It says, a dog utilized to help protect horses from an abuser is killed in Florida. It said, since May 2012, a Florida woman who owns miniature horses has been trying to catch an individual who has been sneaking into her barn at night and raping her horses. She decided to place a German Shepherd in the barn for protection, but came in the morning to find the dog's head being crushed in and the horses raped again. She has recently installed cameras in the barn, which shows footage of the individual walking around in the barn. But after taking this to the police, she was informed that no, we can't use that for anything. Online, anytime you see an article like this, you always see people getting online making comments. Well, the comments is what should be done to this person, how he should be punished, how he should be beaten, all these other things. But not one person said he should be educated. Not one person got on there and looked at the root of the problem. The root of the problem was this man was never taught the right way to conduct himself. He was never taught by the priest of Yahweh how to handle himself around animals, how to control the lust that's brought forth in this world. The problem is the priest and the prophets, this system that's taken away this education from the people. And that's what we have to reinstill. We have to educate people before preventative maintenance. Right? Remember the peaceful solution. Preventative maintenance to maintain our character. Right? We have to teach. We have to instruct. All right? These things, it's shameful to have to talk about these things, but I know as parents, pride has to be put out when you're a parent. When you're a teacher, you have to take all pride. Remember, Pastor said that one time. It's shameful to have to teach on some of these subjects, but it has to be taught, because if it's not taught, that people are going to err. They're going to walk away from Yahweh. They're going to fall into deception. Turn over to Leviticus chapter 18. Leviticus 18 and verse 23. Now I want to cover what went wrong in this man's life to think that this type of behavior was acceptable. To actually lead to the point. The pattern of sin that he fell into. You've seen him, the lust that developed, it turned into the slaughter of an animal, the killing of an animal. And it's a pattern of sin that has to be stopped, that has to be recognized. If you look at Leviticus 18 and verse 23, go ahead and read that for yourself. That's why everybody needs to make sure they have a book of Yahweh, so we make sure we read it ourselves, okay? Now look at the last sentence. It is confusion and perversion. Right? That's what it brings forth. It brings forth confusion. And that's what we see going on in the world today. It's from a lack of character education. This man, every one of us, should have been educated in these things in the home. We should have been educated in how to conduct ourselves properly. Why? It's a law of Yahweh. It's set there for a reason. It has to be taught. If it's ignored and just put to aside because it's something that we don't want to talk about, these things are never going to be overcome. We have to make sure that we put forth the effort. Teach our children. Character education starts in the home. Don't think you're just going to send your children up here on Sabbath, send them to a class, and then the rest of the week allow them to do whatever they want to, and they're going to gain character education. They're going to gain their salvation. No, this has to be continuous. What the children, what we are being taught in Yahweh's house has to be taught continuous. Whatever the teachers instruct the children, whatever guidelines are set down within the Oki 24-hour manual, these things need to be followed at home also. Right? That way, we're all in unity. That way, we're being refined as gold and we're putting on that crown of righteousness together. And that's some of the things that you could see that went on with this gentleman. No training in the home. These things weren't taught. You know, most of us went to a public school. We were raised in the world, being taught things from the world. But I can guarantee you, these things were never covered in school. Never was character, how to conduct yourself, how to control your lust before it turns into sin, how to manage your life. None of these things are ever taught. It's always a mixture of righteousness and evil. Be turning over to Jeremiah chapter 23. Jeremiah chapter 23 and verse 10. And we're going to see where this stems from. Remember, we had an entire prophetic word on Jerry Sandusky and the fact of what he went through and what he's going through, and you know, and everything that everyone involved in that situation is going through. You know, and the fact is, he can't be found guilty of these things. It's the system that teaches that these things are acceptable. Okay, that's what has to be found guilty. That's where it has to change, is inside the system. That's why continuously, year after year, we went before the United States Congress, we went before the Senate, and we've presented them the answer to these problems. We have the answer. All they have to do is use it. Praise Yahweh. But here in Jeremiah chapter 23 and verse 10, it says, "For the land is full of adulterers and those who turn from following Yahweh to follow gods, because the curse... the land mourns." Now remember, Pastor brought out this land mourns. It means that it's stressed out. The firmament. The firmament is stressed out. The sins has reached its peak. It's reached into the heavens. "And their conduct is evil, whose might is not right." Now turn over to verse 17. Jeremiah 23 and verse 17. "They continually say to those who despise me, Yahweh has said, you will have peace, and saying to everyone who walks according to the imagination of his own heart, their own stubborn mind, no evil will come upon you." Remember the school shooting in Newtown. What was the one thing the parents said? "I never thought this would occur to my family. I never thought this would happen," is what they said. It's because the system has taught you that. The entertainment, the imagination of our own hearts. All right? These things pull our minds off reality. Reality is these things are occurring every minute of every day. These things are taking place continuously. Never think that it's not going to be my family. These sins are reaching out to everywhere. Each and every one of us are suffering from the decisions made by other people. Consequences come about. Right? When we allow these things to come forth, if we don't stand up against it and teach it, then we partake of it. We have to teach against these things. And that's what the peaceful solution is here for. Yahweh says here in verse 22. Let's look at verse 21. He says, "I have not sent these prophets, yet they ran. I have not spoken of them, yet they prophesied." Because they're not teaching what's been taught. They're not teaching what's been instructed from the house of Yahweh to teach. In verse 22, he says, "But if they had stood in my counsel and had caused my people to hear my words, the laws and the prophets, then they would have turned them from their evil way and from the evil of their doings." Yes, President Barack Obama, Congress, Senate, every other leader in this world, if you would cause the people to stand in Yahweh's counsel, to stand before and be educated in the peaceful solution, which is the word of Yahweh, we could turn this world around right now. All we have to do is put forth the effort. We have the teachers. We have those that are willing to do it. We just have to have people that are willing to instill it, willing to accept these things in the schools. Let's be turning over to Genesis chapter 10. Genesis chapter 10. We're going to see where this system began. Well, it began this ideal. It began well before this, but this is the system that we see that's still involved in these last days. All right, remember, Genesis 10, verse 8, it says, Cush begot Nimrod. Now, remember, Pastor brought out that Nimrod was not one of the sons listed of Cush, but this was a system that was developed. In verse 9, it says, and it became a mighty tyrant, a tyrant who deceived and who turned against Yahweh. Therefore, it is said, like Nimrod, the tyrant who deceived, who turned against Yahweh. And the beginning of his kingdom was Babel, Erech, Akkad, and all of them in the land of Shinar, that is Babylon. So confusion, this is where this system comes forth, the same system we see in these last days. Now, be turning over to Genesis chapter 49. Remember, everything we're looking at is what it's going to be like in these last days. Remember, we're instructed it's going to be just like in the days of Noah. People married, being given in marriage, people thinking that everything is fine. Because that's what this system has convinced them, the imagination of their own hearts, the entertainment they see, the Hollywood that brings it forth. Everything seems to be fine because it hasn't occurred to me yet. It hasn't occurred to my family yet. I guarantee you the people that suffered losing their children in Newtown, Connecticut are not saying that anymore. They're affected. They see the end result. They just have to understand that, yes, there is a solution. There's an answer to keep this from ever occurring again. And they will. They will. We know. Because prophecy shows it. Prophecy shows that this is going to occur in these last days. But here in Genesis chapter 49 and verse 1, he says, then Jacob called his sons and said, gather together, so I may tell you what will befall you in the last days. Right? There's no question. You know, anyone that knows anything about scriptures or sees what's going on in the world knows this is the last days. There is no future left. Right? This is it. Right? These are the last days of man's governments on earth. All right? And we're going to make sure of that. You people, the students, the teachers, right? Those who are learning to be teachers of righteousness. We're going to make sure that there is an end put to this system that's against Yahweh, all right? That's against Yahweh and against Yahweh's laws. It's for the people, by the people, and against Yahweh's laws. Remember, that's what Pastor instructed us. We're going to teach that everything is for Yahweh. We're going to turn this world around. We're going to teach what Yahweh is about. No, Yahweh is not a vengeful God found in the Old Testament. Yahweh is a wonderful, loving human being. He's someone who created a group of people and wants to train them to become a family. Right? That's what he looks for. He's looking for a family of beings who desires the same thing that he desires. All right. Remember what the Peaceful Solution teaches us: to set goals for yourself, and you work towards those goals. That's what Yahweh did. He practiced the Peaceful Solution. He set a goal. He had a goal in mind, and that's what he worked for. And he's made sure that he has done everything possible to see that the end result is what he was looking for. That he reaches that final goal. And the final piece of that puzzle is this last era burning right here. The seventh era. All right, that's us. That's why we're being refined as gold. Why do we feel like we're being tested every time we get up? Why do we feel like we're being tested every time we go to work? Why do we feel like that someone's always stepping on our toes or someone's always offending us? Because Yahweh wants us to stop looking at it as like that. Look at these things as blessings. Obviously, when we have these thoughts come into our mind, that shows that there's a root of bitterness still there that we need to examine and get out of ourselves. Obviously, we need to start looking at the fact that Yahweh is allowing us to go through this because we still have to get to a certain point to where He can use us. Right? We can't imagine this. You could travel the world practicing and teaching the Peaceful Solution. You can invest all your money in teaching the Peaceful Solution. You go out somewhere in the world or go out to another planet trying to teach them and educate them on how to practice the Peaceful Solution. And then you turn around and you get in an argument with someone you're there with trying to teach. You've ruined everything. Right? We have to learn to practice these things ourselves and implement these things within our everyday lives, within our marriages, within our homes with our children, within the workplaces. We have to use the Peaceful Solution. If it's not working within our lives, why? Because we haven't used it properly. All right, we have to learn to use the Peaceful Solution properly. Allow the house of Yahweh to create us into Yahweh's image. That's what we're here for. We're not here to stop, think, give our opinion, and proceed with what we think the house of Yahweh needs to teach us. Yahweh caught us out to get us to stop and think of our options, to look at the righteous decisions we have and to consider the poor consequences we could receive from negative decisions, and to proceed with the right choice. Go to Abel and ask, what is it should I do? And then do that thing exactly, because that's what's going to bring us salvation, whether we think it's the right thing at the time or not. But we have to make sure. But there is hope in these last days. In Genesis chapter 49 here, you see the characteristics listed of the 12 tribes. And he's showing these things coming to pass in these last days. And that's what we see throughout the world, these characteristics. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 17, you don't have to turn there, but in Genesis 2, 17, it speaks of the tree of righteousness and evil. Remember, you always said of every tree of the fruit of the garden you may eat, but of the tree of righteousness and evil. That's a mixture. All right, that's a system. It's a mixture of righteousness and evil. That's what we see. He says, do not partake of. Now, that's what we see here in this world. We see a mixture of righteousness and evil, and it's engulfed the entire world. All right, you had the beast and the likeness of the beast. We have these things right before our very eyes, these prophecies coming to pass. I'll be turning over to Micaiah. This is my last scripture. Micaiah chapter 4. Micaiah chapter 4 and verse 1. But he says, in the last days that it will come to pass that the mountain, the promotion of the house of Yahweh, will be established in the chief of the nations. And it will be raised above all congregations, and all people will eventually flow to it. We have to believe that. All people will eventually flow to the house of Yahweh. That's a promise. They're going to flow to the house of Yahweh because of the teaching, because of the uplifting, because of the promotion of the peaceful solution. How do we know that? Because Yahweh says it right here. In verse 3, and he says, and he will judge between many people and rebuke strong nations afar off. And they will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation will not lift up sword against nation, nor will they learn war anymore. Because those who have tied themselves to the branch, those who are called from this world to do a work, has succeeded in promoting and uplifting the house of Yahweh, the peaceful solution to the rest of this world. And that's what we're doing here this day. Don't forget when we go through these tests and trials. We have promises made by Yahweh. Look to the prophecies. Look to the prophecies about this house, about this work right here. Believe in them. If we walk away from it, there is no hope for us. Right? They can get on the news and say that if we want to, but no, there is no salvation outside these gates. There is no salvation outside Yisra Hawkins. I believe it. Because that's what Yahweh told us. That's what your scripture says, plain and simple. Praise Yahweh. If you'll all please stand. I have the great honor and privilege to turn it over to our next speaker, the great Kahan Pariah Hawkins.
Shabbat shalom, saints of Yahweh. Everybody, please be seated. Got a lot of ground to cover and a short time to do it. I want to draw your attention back to Pastor's sermon back on 12/29 of 2012. He took us to a scripture there in 2 Kefa chapter 2 and verse 14. And that scripture reads, having eyes full of adultery and who cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls, having a mind expertly trained in covetous practices, cursed children. And he was telling us here, he was showing us how this was speaking of these false teachers who were full of rebellion that came out, that we saw that came out around in the first chapter of, or first book of Samuel, 1 Samuel chapter 8. And shows how these people, they had eyes full of adultery and they had actually gotten to the point where they were unable to cease from sinning, and that how they would beguile unstable souls. And if you think of what the word beguile means, it actually means to captivate. Another word for it is to bewitch, to charm. But it also means to divert or to turn aside. And we can see here how that they did this, and they did this through having minds that were expertly trained in covetous practices. And then he said, cursed children. He said, did you get that? Cursed children. What was it that caused these children to be cursed? Remember, it was because the Peaceful Solution Character Education Program was rejected by those men in that day. And it was not taught. It was withheld. It was withheld from the children. It was withheld from the people. Now, on page two of the January 2013 newsletter, Pastor shows us the following here. He says, the father of these men rose up publicly against the great prophet Samuel, In the first book of Samuel, it is shown that they brought the rebellious God and Lord worshiping, God worshiping out of Egypt with them. And then 1 Samuel chapter 8, if you'll go ahead and turn over there, to 1 Samuel chapter 8, and we'll be on page 228. And we're going to be bouncing kind of back and forth between here, so you may want to keep this marked here. But 1 Samuel chapter 8, verse 4 here, and it shows, and all of the elders of Israel gathered together and approached Samuel when he was at Ramah, saying to him, "You are old, and your sons do not walk in your ways. Appoint a king to judge us, just like all the other nations." Right there, you can kind of see the deception and things that were already in the minds of the elders at that time. They didn't want Yahweh ruling over them. They were looking for an excuse to commit sin. They were looking for an excuse, and they found it. And they took it, and they ran with it. And that's why they went to Samuel. And they said, "Well, give us a king to judge us just like all the other nations." And then Samuel, what did Samuel do? Samuel went to Yahweh. And Yahweh answered Samuel, and he said, "Listen to all of the words the people speak to you, for they have not rejected you. They have rejected me that I should not reign over them." So we can see what it is that they were rejecting. They were rejecting the laws of Yahweh. "Just as they have done to me from this day that I brought them out of Egypt to this very day, they are now doing to you. They are forsaking me in order to serve gods." Then on page 5 of the same newsletter, Pastor shows us here, he says, Yahweh's prophets stand out from all of the other prophets in many ways. The one thing that separates Yahweh's prophets completely from the God-worshiping prophets, teachers, and priests is that the prophecies of Yahweh, the prophets of Yahweh, they never fail. They will always come to pass. Everything that the prophets have prophesied is coming to pass, and it is coming to pass in exact detail. And Pastor has shown us time and time and time again through history with names, times, and events of how these things have come to pass. And then Pastor, he continues, and he says, "Only Yahweh makes the claim and proves that he can foretell the future and even inspire his prophets to write about it for others thousands of years in advance." He says, "Yahweh inspired his holy prophets to foretell the future in order to show mankind what keeping Yahweh's laws of righteousness would bring and what man's sins would bring upon himself and to the nations in the end of the 6,000-year plan for mankind and the earth." And this is what Samuel warned the elders of Israel at that time. He warned of what forsaking Yahweh would bring. He warned what following the ways of these kings would bring. Now, on 12:29... Pastor again brought up about the rebelliousness of the prophet Samuel and, you know, showing how even after Samuel warned the people continued. They still wanted that king despite the warnings. And it wasn't withheld back from them. Now, Yahshua told us very clearly in Luke 24:25, he warns us that we're considered to be fools if we do not believe all that the prophets have spoken. And this is one of the reasons Pastor goes through the prophecies and goes through so much detail in showing us the completion and how the prophecies have been filled in detail so that we can fully put our trust in these prophecies and how that they will come to pass in detail. Now, Pastor many times has said fulfilled prophecy proves all things. And we have to remember, like it's written in 2 Timothy 3:16-17, that all scripture, which is given through inspiration of Yahweh, is profitable for doctrine, for reproof and instruction in righteousness, that we might be thoroughly furnished for every righteous work. And this is why we're here. We're coming here to be thoroughly furnished for the work of teaching the nations the Peaceful Solution Character Education Program. We're here to teach and learn how to teach Yahweh's righteous laws and how to avoid the pitfalls that these people found themselves in, as the prophet Samuel warned. Now, the title of this today, I've got a fulfillment of the prophetic warning in 1 Samuel chapter 8, verse 11 through 17, as seen in the history of the Hopi Indian. Now, if you remember, go back to the Feast of Unleavened Bread, 2011. Remember, there was a film that was shown about the DNA and how the DNA of the Native American Indians was actually be traced back to the hills of Galilee. And if you remember your history of the Crusades and the Inquisitions that were under the direction of the popes, you know, they fought. The reason for those was that they fought to eradicate any form of holiness or any form of righteous culture. They wanted to eradicate that. Now, in January of 1492, if you remember the Alhambra Decree, ordered the expulsion of the Sephardic Jews from Spain, and then they were dispersed to various nations, to Europe, North Africa, New Spain, North and Central America, and also to the American Southwest. And this is where the Hopi settled. They were actually in the American Southwest. And by the way, remember, their name actually means the peaceful ones of the Southwest. Now, let's take a look at some of the history here and see how, in the history of the Hopi, it's recorded. So we can actually see how some of these things that this prophet Samuel warned the people about was actually fulfilled. Now, in the early 1880s, anthropologists and scientists were making their way, you know, they were working their way into Hopi land to see what they could discover about this culture and about their religious ceremonies. At the same time, while all of this was going on, the government, and they referred to the anthropologists and things as tourists, but the government officials at the same time, they were actually hard at work, and they were working on a program. They were trying to establish a program that would steadfastly pursue to accomplish Hopi culture termination and land control. They wanted to totally eradicate that people, and they wanted to take the land that they had. You know, and this ties right back in with what we just read in 2 Kefa 2:14 about these covetous practices. You know, this is part of these covetous practices that were described here. Now, in 1 Samuel chapter 8, 11 through 12, let's take a look and see here what Samuel warned them about here. Verse 11 here, it says, "And Samuel said, 'And this is how the king you desire to reign over you will behave. He will take your sons and appoint some of them to serve with his chariots. Some of them will drive his chariot horses, and others will run in front of his chariots. He will appoint captains for his army, captains over thousands, captains over hundreds. Your sons will plow his ground, and others will bring in the harvest. Others will manufacture weapons of war and the equipment for his chariots.'" So we can see here one of the warnings was that these people were going to be forced, that the governments were actually going to force people to enlist in the army, to fight in the armies. Well, in 1917, history shows the United States entered the First World War, and Hopi men were actually required to serve in the armed forces. It wasn't a request. It wasn't an invitation. It was a requirement. Even though they were not, they weren't recognized as citizens. They weren't allowed to vote. They weren't given any choice in the matter. They were told they were subject to the draft. And then we had, then when you had traditionalists, and I'll explain what a traditionalist is here in just a second. But when the traditionalists explained that they abhorred war, they didn't want any part of war, and asked for exemptions from military service on religious grounds, they were imprisoned until they changed their mind. They were forced into prison. And some people never changed their mind, and so they remained in jail for the duration of the war. Now, the whites could be exempted from service, but the Hopi couldn't. And then it said, in all, approximately one-tenth of the men in the Hopi tribe actually served in the United States Army. Now, the traditionalists are the individuals, or were the Hopi, who for their entire lives have fought against the most dramatic assaults ever made against their culture. And through it all, they have attempted to keep their sacred vows to serve the Creator and to follow the ancient ways. And if you remember where they came from, the hills of Galilee, what were they teaching? What were they taught there? What were the sacred ways and the old ways that they were trying to maintain? It was the righteousness. It was the laws of Yahweh. And so if you remember your history, where they came from, you can see here, you know, what it is that they were trying to hang on to. Now, in 1 Samuel chapter 8, 14 through 15 here, we see another warning here. It says, "And he will seize your best fields, vineyards, and olive gardens, and he will give them to his officials. He will demand a tenth of your grain and your vintage, and he will give it to his officers and his attendants." So we see here that the fields, the land is going to be seized, and it's going to be stolen. Well, during the mid to late 1800s, as word about the existence of the Hopi and their way of life as it spread, missionaries came to transform these heathens into Christians and to save their souls. Okay? It says, "The authoritarian missionaries simply assumed that from a religious point of view, anything the Hopis believed would not be worth listening to and that needed to be eradicated and replaced with Christianity." It says, "They were convinced that this was Jesus' mandate, and in their evangelical minds, their own faith, conduct, and devotion were so exemplary, they were so above anything, that these people could not possibly have anything positive, anything beneficial to input, that that whatever they chose to do, it justified whatever the missionaries attempted to do. In other words, another word for that is that the ends justify the means. Okay? And, you know, we see that, you know, we see this through the Crusades and through the Inquisitions. The end justified the means. I mean, they didn't ask the person, well, do you want to repent and come over? Okay, well, that's all right. Go ahead and go. No, what did they do? They tortured these people. They tortured, they imprisoned them, they did unspeakable things to them, and they thought that they were doing what was right. You know, they thought that they were so exemplary in doing, and they were justified in what they were doing. And then their attitude was, you know, surely that they told themselves that since the Hopi would see this and they would understand and realize that conversion was really the best thing that could take place with them. But, you know, if you look, Yahweh never uses force. Yahweh converts and Yahweh calls people through education. Yahweh doesn't want people serving him who are forced and have to be watched 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. The very name Yisrael means he who rules as Yahweh. Yahweh's name means that he, you know, Yahweh chooses to rule the way he does. Yahweh has chosen to be perfectly righteous. And Yahweh wants to surround himself with people who also choose that same path, no matter what is set before them. Now, and continuing on here, the United States government was not far behind the missionaries. So you had the missionaries working on one side, and the government was working on another side, for it too was always looking for new territories and new people to conquer and to control. Now, this should bring up what's written in Revelation chapter 6 and verse 2, where we see the beastly system actually portrayed as a white horse. And that's, again, Revelation 6, 2. And it says, "And I looked, and behold, a white horse, and he who sat on it had a bow, and a crown was given to him, and he went out conquering and to conquer." So, you know, we can see we see that system and how that system went out. Now, continuing on with the history here, it shows that there were about 2,000 Hopi at that time, and the land that the Hopi on was essentially arid, barren, nevertheless, it was a large territory. And the way the historian puts it here, it says, it was a large territory begging to be explored for whatever underground riches it might contain. The only question left to the government was how to take possession of some, if not most all of it. Okay. Remember the warning. Remember the warning here that was given that Samuel gave the people on how the kings would behave. And tie this in with the history here. It says in 1881, the government, and the term was used here, sank its teeth into Hopi land when it established its agency near the first mesa. Then in 1882, a reservation was established by executive order. Once the boundaries were drawn, its size was less than 1/10 of the actual area claimed by the Hopi. In other words, it was 90% smaller than what it was when they started out. It says the Hopi were not consulted in this matter. The reservation boundaries, now that one that we had, that was done in 1882. The boundaries would be redrawn again in 1934, 1943, and 1977. So it went through three other, the wars were redrawn three other times. And each time the land became smaller with each new draft. So more and more was taken from them with each draft. And it says, before long, and with tacit government approval, which was, and it shows here that Navajo settlements, you know, completely surrounded the Hopi. And today the Hopi reservation actually sits in the middle of the Navajo reservation. Now, it shows here that once the government had achieved some of its primary goals, any sufficient number of Hopi had become dependent upon them, and that was the whole idea. That was what they wanted. The Hopi, this culture, this group was completely self-sufficient. They didn't have to rely on anybody. Well, the government couldn't have that. So what they wanted to do, their goal, was to make them dependent upon them. And this is the plan. This is what was taking place here. Some of the hardcore policies that were toned down, once they had some compliance and the compulsory school rule was relaxed somewhat. Children by this time were accustomed to going to school by now, and a number of them had been successfully weaned away from the traditional life. In other words, you know, they had been drawn away from the ways that they had been taught. The government was pleased, but the work was not finished. So new policies were instigated that while they were said to be mandatory for all villages, they were in truth intended to cause more suffering for the obstinate people of Hotavella, which was the, I believe if I remember correctly, that was the last village that was standing. Most of the other people had gone ahead and succumbed to the pressures, but this group of people did not. At this point in time, At this point in time, then, Otavello was being separated from the other villages and treated as an isolated thorn in the government side. So while so far the traditionalists had no reason to worry about defections, everything the government did from then on, everything that the government did from then on was shaped to wear down resistance. Okay, they were coming against the people. They were trying to wear them down. In the government's mind, breaking the back of Otavello was an absolute must. For as long as it held out, it would be an embarrassment to both the government and the friendly Hopi. And the friendly Hopi were those who considered, who went ahead and accepted the way of the, you know, the way of the newcomers, or as it's listed here as the Bahana, Bahana, which means newcomers, or the white way, the white man's way of life. In other words, the worldly way of life. Okay. We can see how personally the government was taking the situation by observing how malicious and far-reaching just a few of the new rules were. So if you remember when with the Holocaust, when that took place, there were a number of laws that were passed to make all of the Jews there in Germany, to make them criminal. Well, this is some of the same tactics here that were used here. It says using Hopi marriage ceremonies was prohibited. Says prospective traditionalist brides and grooms frequently were arrested and put in jail and kept there until they yielded to the Bahana and agreed to have a Christian wedding ceremony. They weren't allowed to have their own. No, it had to be a Christian wedding ceremony. In other words, the Hopi couple was not permitted to begin their new life together on a traditionalist basis, and it was a factor that tainted everything they did thereafter, and even making it impossible for them to participate in some of their most important religious rites. So you can see how they were going at the, how they were going after these people to really try to tear them down, to tear this culture down, to make it to where it just wasn't going to be able to be followed any longer. Chemical sheep dipping was enforced, and herdsmen had a choice between complying or being arrested and jailed. It says families were forced to herd their sheep several miles away to dip sites, where it became the accepted custom to slaughter some of the sheep to provide meals for the police and rangers. The people, both men and women, who resisted these thefts were themselves stripped naked and dumped into the chemical troughs. The shame of this treatment mattered not at all to the police, who openly joked about it and derided the traditionalist Hopi. In fact, or the fact that the Hopi had no serious problems with their sheep prior to this time was of no consequence. What was the main reason? Government control. Government control was what counted, and any opportunity for abuse was welcomed, and it was enjoined. They wanted it. They wanted to bring this on. Stock reduction. Stock reduction was instigated. Now, remember what they had done. They had taken the land. And they had taken the land from the original size, and they had reduced it down. Well, the government agency people actually determined how much livestock they thought each parcel of land could sensibly support. As you might expect, this number was always smaller than what each Hopi family already owned, so there was always a surplus that had to be sold. Those who refused to comply with this fraudulent rule, they were jailed, and they had all of their stock taken away from them. Whatever was appropriated was either divided up among the friendlies, and the schools sold to whites for some ridiculously low price, or it was destroyed. It was a clever rule that made self-sufficiency impossible. So again, they're trying to get the people to be completely dependent upon the government. Thus, there was a cruel method behind this madness. Since the hostels had little in the way of monetary income, they could not pay for what they had to obtain from the government. They couldn't do it. So the moment that they defaulted, the government simply took over the property and immediately parceled out to Bahana commercial interests. So you can see here, you know, how the fields were seized and how the livestock was seized and how these thefts here were actually legalized. For the third part here, it's in 1 Samuel 8, 13, 16, and 17. And it says, and he will take your daughters and appoint them to be his perfumers, his cooks, and his bakers. Then down in verse 16, he will take your men servants and your maid servants, your finest young men and your donkeys, and will put them to his own use. He will demand a tenth of your sheep, and you yourselves will become his servants. Well, how was this done? How was it done? It was actually done, believe it or not, it was done through education. It was done through education. And if you think about what the goals are, what are the goals of the institutes of higher learning? What do they teach you to do? Do they teach you to be self-sufficient? No, they teach you to work for a corporation. They teach you to work for somebody else. They teach you to work for somebody else, to have to rely upon somebody else. And in the course of that, they teach you things that go contrary to what traditional values might be considered. I know some courses included, the Bible as, one of the courses I remember seeing was, it was called the Bible as Literature, where they would actually reduce the scriptures, the teachings of the scriptures and the prophecies down to the same thing as Alice in Wonderland or whatever. But they would reduce it down to a work of fiction and say, well, see, it's just as ridiculous as this other stuff. So you don't need to be believing in that. You don't need to trust in that. Just believe in what we are teaching you here, because this is how you're going to get along in this world. This was the idea behind it. Now, considering the difficulties the missionaries were having with conversions, the government agent quickly realized that the Hopi culture was the major obstacle to control. So they're all about control. And they knew that to gain this, the first thing they had to do was to break the back of that culture and replace it with the worldly culture. And the best place to start, they realized, would be with education. So they knew, they had it planned. And this, it says, is the primary image changer. And we're going to see how they got in there, how that worked, and how they did all this. But it says the government decided, now this is how bad it got. It says the government decided to remove the children from the nest, opting to place them in boarding schools so far from home as to make it impossible for them to participate in daily village activities, and particularly the ceremonial life. They wanted to separate them from that culture as much as they possibly could. And then the traditionalists, those who were following the ancient ways or the old ways, they immediately saw what the cost of this would be. And in the end, it would lead to the eradication of this ancient way. They saw that. And they that's why they fought so hard against it. The government, they moved in swiftly to capture the children and to take them off to boarding schools. Parents tried everything they could to avoid this. They hid the children when the people came. The government's reply to this was to imprison the fathers. The accounts that I read were, all they would dangle this piece of paper in front of the father and say, look, all you have to do is sign this. All you have to do is sign this piece of paper, send your children to our school, and you can get out of jail. You're not going to have to get up at at 3 a.m. and go work out here in the field chained to 6 other people. You're not going to have to sleep chained to 12 other people so that when one person has to get up in the middle of the night, you all have to get up. You don't have to do this. You just sign this. It's that simple. But yet they refused. They refused to do that. They stood firm and they refused to subject their children to that. They protected their children. The traditionalists saw immediately, again, what the cost of that would be. The government's reply was to imprison the fathers, putting them in chains, and even sending a few to Alcatraz. At times, there was not a single father left in the village to help with the work. The women, the old folks, and whatever older children were left had to do everything without them. And this is going to be a key here in just a little bit as really an important point here. It says they would. The school principals would lash out by entering the villagers' homes uninvited. They would verbally abuse the parents. They would smash pottery used for cooking and eating. They would cut blankets needed for winter warmth into shreds. They made surprise raids in the winter so fleeing children could be easily tracked in the snow. Just look at the cruelty here that they pushed forth. It says, meanwhile, the schools, most of which were run by who? Or run by the missionaries, they were indoctrinating the children with the worldly language and ways while they ran down the customs of the Hopi, while they ran down the ways that they were brought up. And when the children were finally allowed to come home, of course, their attitudes and their behavior reflected that. you know, mom, dad, they're telling me here in school that this way is old and it's outdated. Why are we doing it this way? Wouldn't it be better to do it this way? You know, the government representatives, they continued their efforts to change the Hopi from an independent to a dependent people by tempting them with the worldly lifestyle. Now that the traditional way of farming provided no income to pay for amenities, dry farming, that was the method of farming they were using, was regularly criticized by progressives as passé and inadequate. In other words, it's just not worth it. It's just not working anymore. The elder traditionalists protested this, and they warned others about the prophesied consequences of shifting away from self-sufficiency. Okay, they knew the dangers that this way would bring. The progressive Hopi waved them off while they derided the obstructionalists who did not understand what was going on in the real world and who did not want the people to get ahead. And that's what they were saying. Well, they really don't want you to get ahead. You know, they really don't want you to survive in this world at all. And then morning, noon, and night, the children in the boarding schools, they had these differences pointed out to them, and they were told that if they continued to follow the old ways, they would never be able to get ahead or function in this wonderful white and this wonderful worldly world here. They were even enticed with escorted trips to the cities, and they were actually shown this different way of life. And the approach here, it says, was a persuasive one, and in the end, and it reached the youth. Families started to fall apart as the young people began to trade traditionalist religion for baseball, football, and the worldly dances and other sports and common pleasures so cherished by the youth outside. They gladly spoke English instead of Hopi. As prophesied, they could no longer discuss matters with their parents or grandparents in the original language, nor could they understand the chants or commands used in the ceremonial performances, which guarantees that there would be fewer keepers of the covenant with each passing year. Now, what we saw with this, Solomon said something very clearly. He said, there's nothing new under the sun. These were the same tactics that were used by the Egyptians who enslaved the children of Israel. If you remember, Pastor brought this out years ago and showed that the slavery wasn't a whip and chain, you know, whip and chair type of slavery, but it was a slavery where they were paid such a minimum wage, such a minuscule amount that there is no way that they could ever get ahead. There's absolutely no way that they could store up any type of savings to get to move on and to become self-sufficient. It just couldn't be done. The children of Israel were taken to Babylon when they were taken there. They were educated in the Babylonian way, remember? They were forced to speak the Babylonian language. They weren't allowed to speak Hebrew. They were trained in the Babylonian customs, and they were prohibited from keeping the law of Yahweh. Similar tactics were used here not too long ago against a group here down in San Angelo when every single child was removed from the household. Remember that? And they were taken to homes and orphanages in the children's homes. Okay, just think about what those children were exposed to, and what was it that they had to rely upon? They had, when they were taken away from their parents, or when they were taken away from their homes, all they had to rely upon was what they were taught at home. That's what they were taught. Proverbs 22:6 says, we're to train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Deuteronomy 6:7 tells us, and these words which I command you this day, they must be in your heart. And you must teach them diligently to your children and talk about them when you sit in your house, when you walk on the road, when you lie down, and when you rise up. Training up the children in the way that they should go and teaching them constantly, this is all part of guarding the house of Yahweh. Every bit of it is part of guarding the house of Yahweh. Now, Pastor told us in a recent sermon, and history has shown, that this righteous culture is actually brought down and by through this education. Remember what it says in 1 Corinthians 15:33. It says, do not be deceived. Bad company corrupts righteous character. Education, Pastor told us very recently, is in front of us all the time. It's in the form of television, movies, music, religious organizations, foolish traditions. The result of that education is evident with the school shootings, with the other types of violence, sickness, disease, lack of respect for anyone, including themselves, or anything. On 12/22, Pastor, we heard presentations from several speakers of the Peaceful Solution Character Education Program who were visiting the courts and the schools. And Pastor, again, what did he do? He made a call for teachers. And he made a call especially for teachers of the young men and the young women here. And brothers and sisters, whether we realize or not, these young men and women who are here in Yahweh's house, they are not only the future leaders of the house of Yahweh, not only your future world leaders, but the very future of mankind is dependent upon what these children are taught now. And this is the importance of making sure that these children receive the education that they need. Not the education of the world, but the Peaceful Solution Character Education Program. And it's our obligation to see that they get every opportunity to gain this knowledge necessary to answer pastors' calls for teachers. Now, I know on Sabbath, classes start at 8 o'clock. It's not 8:15. It's not 8:30. It's not 8:45. It's 8 o'clock. We need to make sure that our children are here and given this opportunity, so that they can, if they choose to be teachers, they can take that opportunity and they can do that. For my closing scripture, I'd like you to turn over to Romans chapter 8, verse 19 and 21 on page 879. Just to show you here, Romans chapter 8. Okay. I'm on the wrong. Romans chapter 8, look here in verse 19. For the earnest expectation of the creation awaits for the revealing of the sons for the children of Yahweh. For the creation was made subject to emptiness, not willingly, but by the will of him who subjected it in hope. Notice verse 21. Because the creation itself will also be delivered from the bondage of corruption, from the bondage that this world is in right now, from this bondage of corruption into this glorious liberty. Notice, by the children of Yahweh. May Yahweh be with you and bless you. If everyone would please stand. We'll turn the services over to the great Kohen, Shaul Hawkins.
Praise Yahweh. Shabbat Shalom, brothers and sisters. I just have a few, two more quick announcements here. We heard earlier today about the wearing of gold for Seder, for Passover this year, which is soon to be upon us. It's coming up real quick here. So the women, you're going to have gold dresses, and they're on display at the women's general store. And men, you're going to have available gold vests and gold ties. So this should look really awesome, this Seder. Everybody in gold. And we want to ask you to get over to the general stores and get yours picked out early and get them ordered. Don't delay. Don't wait till the last minute, because we have to get these ordered and get them delivered here on time. All right. We don't want anybody to get left out. Now, what you're about to hear this morning here from this point on is how Yahweh is opening new doors constantly, okay? And what you're about to see and hear today is about a group of people who've been studying with us for some time now, and they're now seeing what the house of Yahweh, what we've taught all along, and that is the house of Yahweh is the only group that has all the answers to all the problems that we see in the world. That's overtaking this world. And I'm talking about everything from school shootings to the sicknesses and diseases, the confusion and the groping in the darkness, and yes, even the coming nuclear wars. We have the answers, and it's education. And they're now starting to back us up. Now, without further delay, and I'm thank you for remaining standing. It's now my honor and privilege to turn the services over to the great deacon, David Hawkins.
Praise Yahweh. Shabbat Shalom, saints of Yahweh. Please be seated. This is going to move pretty fast from this point. I'd just like to make you aware of something. Like the great Kohen just stated, these people are taking notice of the Peaceful Solution Character Education Program. It's an amazing thing that we're seeing right now. And we've got some witnesses here that I want to introduce to you in just a moment to tell you what they saw taking place. Please keep in mind, that these people have been studying with us for some time, and they know all about the house of Yahweh. They know all about Yisroel Hawkins. They know all about everything that anybody's ever said that was negative about the house of Yahweh, and they don't care. They want the peaceful solution. They want it now, and they're paying for it. How about that? So, without any further wait, it is my great honor and privilege, if you'll all please stand. It is really a joy to introduce to you the great future priest, the great white buffalo.
Shabbat shalom, everyone. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. May be seated. This week, we had the opportunity to go on another Peaceful Solution missionary trip, and we received a large amount of money to put into teaching the Peaceful Solution. Praise Yahweh. And they offered ways for us to teach the Peaceful Solution easier. Yahweh promised that we would be blessed when we come in from teaching the Peaceful Solution and when we go out to teach the Peaceful Solution. If you all would turn over to Deuteronomy 28, verse 6. It says, "Blessed will you be when you come in, and blessed will you be when you go out." This is only one of the promises that Yahweh gave us for practicing Yahweh's 613 laws. And Yahweh's 613 laws is the Peaceful Solution. And Yahweh blessed the works of our hands every time when we go out to teach this Peaceful Solution. If you will turn over to Deuteronomy 28, verse 12. Just look down there to almost the bottom of the page. It says, "Yahweh will open the heavens, the storehouse of his bountiful treasure, to send rain upon your land in its season, and to bless all the works of your hands. You will lend to many nations, but you will borrow from none." So Yahweh blesses the works of our hands every time when we go out to teach this Peaceful Solution, and we have the answers. That the world does not have any answers. They have all these other programs that they think work, but they now are starting to admit that all their laws that they are passing does not work. And we were a light to the Gentiles. We were Yahweh's salvation to the ends of the earth. If you were to turn over to Isaiah 49, verse 6 in your book, Yahweh. On page 561. And he said, "It is not enough that you should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Yaakov and to restore the protected of Israel. I will also give you for a light to the Gentiles, so you may be my salvation to the ends of the earth." We are a light to the Gentiles when we go out and teach this Peaceful Solution. In conclusion, I would like to encourage you all to practice the Peaceful Solution. And when we practice this Peaceful Solution, we will solve this world's problems. And with us first practicing this Peaceful Solution, we will set the example to all the world, and we will change this world around. And the world does not have any answers. And they are now admitting, they're now grasping on to this Peaceful Solution, and they're admitting they do not have answers. They're groping at noonday. If you would turn over to Deuteronomy 28, verse 29. On page 170, It says, "And you shall grope at noonday, reduced to blind helplessness, just as a blind man gropes in darkness. You will not be successful in any of your ways. You will only be oppressed and robbed continually, with no one to rescue you." They're groping at noonday trying to find answers. And we have the answers. We're bringing this light to the Gentiles. We are Yahweh's salvation to the ends of the earth. And with that, I'd like to turn it over to Deacon Yishol David.
Shalom, everyone. Please be seated. I'd like to tell everybody a little bit more about the recent success that the Peaceful Solution has had. And just this past week, we were invited to an event, and we received a sizable, very sizable, monetary award, as White Buffalo just said, and we were recognized by a very well-known entity in that area. Now, what I'd like everyone to keep in mind is that these people, I mean, they don't understand fully what true peace is and, how to achieve it, but they are studying with the program, as Deacon David mentioned. And they are coming to learn these things, and they're seeing the fruits of the Peaceful Solution program and how it's very successful. And they say that this thing works. They realize that this thing works. And they said that they're willing to stand behind the program and help in any way that they possibly can. Another thing, as Deacon David also mentioned, they're aware of the House of Yahweh. They're aware of the many charges that were brought against the House of Yahweh, that were brought against Yisrael Hawkins. They're aware of that we're in the House of Yahweh. They're aware of our beliefs. And they're aware of the hatred that was brought up against the House of Yahweh. But they said, no, we don't care about all that. This program works. This Peaceful Solution works. And they're very thankful and they're very grateful for us coming to their community and coming to their schools and building the children up in morals. And one of them actually told us that, this is a great help to the parents. He said the parents, they don't know how to teach their children. They don't know how to build morals in their children. So the Peaceful Solution going and doing this is a very great help to the parents today. Now, they're not just giving us money in vain. Just because, here let's throw out some money to some programs here. Here, there's the Peaceful Solution. Let's give them some money. No, they're doing this because they see the fruits. They actually see the success. And one of them, one of the ladies, she was, I guess you could say, she was kind of doubtful about, it's just another program. So she went and she enrolled in the program. And she saw the fruits of this program, and she enrolled all her students in this program, this Peaceful Solution program. So they're realizing that we have the only real solution on the face of the earth today. There was another lady, and I want everyone to keep this in mind and think on this. She was speaking to us after the event. She said, we need to be very, very thankful. She was speaking to us. She said, we need to be very thankful for the teachers that we have that are teaching us this program. Because society today is lacking these, they don't have them. And it's very rare in society, so we need to be very thankful for our teachers. And Yahshua said a disciple is not greater than his teacher. But it should be our ambition, and we should make it our ambition to be just like Yisrael Hawkins, who was our teacher in these last days. We should be very thankful for our teacher, Yisrael Hawkins. We need to be very grateful for our teacher, Yisrael Hawkins, as well as all the Kahans, all the priests, the judges, Kohanas, deacons, deaconesses in the House of Yahweh that are teaching us this Peaceful Solution. Remember, without them, we would be just like the rest of the world, groping in the dark for a band-aid to put over our incurable illnesses and afflictions. But these people are beginning. They're actually beginning to see the desperate need for the Peaceful Solution in their area, as well as all over the world. They know it works. And they know that it's working, they see it working, they see the fruits of it. And they're willing to do anything to push it forward. So brothers and sisters, we are the light of this dying world today. The world is dying in darkness, and it is our responsibility to bring the light to this world. We need to be getting our minds prepared. We need to be getting ready for these people that are going to be coming. Because they're coming, they're on their way here right now. So I want to encourage everyone, keep studying, keep reading these books, keep going over these books, and don't give up. Keep applying our minds to these books and learning these things so that we can teach these people that are coming. And with that, I'd like to turn it over to the next speaker, the great Deacon David Hawkins.
Shabbat Shalom again. Please be seated. We're going to move right along. May Yahweh bless your understanding. Like you've already heard today, this was a great event that we did attend, And the people are very, very glad to have the peaceful solution available to be taught to their children. Now, one of the things that I'd like to point out is that the speakers before me, I could see how Yahweh had his hand in this and put it all together because of this malice and hatred that we're seeing in the world today. I call it the malice syndrome, the malice syndrome. And the Peaceful Solution Character Education Program is the only cure for this malice syndrome. In fact, Yahweh willing, we'll be able to show that to you here in a few minutes. So malice, remember, the word malice is the desire to cause pain, injury, or distress. The desire to cause pain. The desire to do it. It's actually within these people. Inflicting physical or psychological pain. And just to share a few articles with you real quick. What are the most common torture methods? Now, you already heard that torture has been used down through the ages, even with our ancestors. And anybody who wanted to do righteousness was tortured by this beastly system. But what are the most common torture methods? There are two. It is physical and psychological. And it comes with beatings, burns, electric shocks, rape, sexual assaults, stretching, submersion, even suffocation. The psychological torture commonly includes humiliation, isolation, mock amputations, mock executions, threats, and witnessing the torture of others. Now, as a young man in junior high, I was able to, when the Vietnam POWs were released, my math teacher was related to a very prominent individual that was a POW. And once a week, we had tapes that we listened to of his description of being a POW and the things that occurred. And I remember it all my life. And there was another man. These machines of malice that have been made by mankind and used against other men, hundreds and hundreds of different types. It's too gruesome to even show you any pictures of. And if you go online and research it yourself, please be careful because there's so much out there. It's just horrible. It's terrible, and the nakedness and everything shown. So please be extremely careful. But I know a man that experienced psychological, very heavy psychological and some physical torture at the hands of malicious men, at the hands of Masons. And in a period of time when it was kept from him, food and water was kept from him for some period of time. And I remember hearing about the things that took place, the differences in temperature over and over again. It was light one minute, dark the next. And these, like this article said, the witnessing of torture of others, that was done. And just the mere hearing of things, I remember him saying the hearing of things going on outside his steel cell. He didn't know if it was real or if it was fantasy. But this torture was taking place. And the man said, you know, even though he was only in there 8 days, as far as he knew, he could have been in there 6 months. It was very terrible to hear these things and what mankind can do to one another. Okay, so the education of a torturer. This is something that they actually do. They educate torturers. And there is a cruel method to the madness. And that madness is folly. It's word 1947. It means folly or to rave through insanity. That's word 7697. And it reminded me of Deuteronomy 28 and the madness that would take hold of mankind. And knowing, it says here, torture for whatever purpose and in whatever name requires a torturer, an individual responsible for causing pain to others. There's more articles here that I would like to go through, but it's just too many. In torture training, some of the people that were trained in it said they were told that they will learn to love pain. And that's what they had to do, was learn to love pain by being tortured themselves, and then they practiced the torture on others. And they did learn to love it. And that's what this malice is, the loving of it, the desire to do it. And that's why when you see these things and hear these things about interrogations and so forth, it's not interrogations. You know, they don't care what the person says. They're there for one thing, and that's for their own personal sick enjoyment. But you have to remember, like the great Kahan said earlier, these men, they have not been taught. They have not been taught the Peaceful Solution Character Education Program. If they had, they would not be doing this. They would have never picked up any of the torture devices to use against another human being if they had been taught the Peaceful Solution. In military training, it gradually desensitizes soldiers to violence and reduces the strain normally created by repugnant acts. And they learn these things before they go out into war, and they said it makes it easier to kill them. And here's a quote from the Associate Justice in the Supreme Court, one of them. He said that mere factual innocence is no reason not to carry out a death sentence properly reached. Mere factual innocence is no reason not to carry out a death sentence properly reached. That's from a justice of the United States Supreme Court. That should go to show everybody that that court's not supreme. The Supreme Court is right here at the House of Yahweh. That's the Supreme Court. Now, in the Peaceful Solution books, there is a test to see how you've been affected by certain things. And have you been infected by the malice syndrome? Have you ever enjoyed boxing, football, competitive sports? Have you ever found yourself rooting for the good guy to get the bad guy in a movie? If you have, then it's very likely you've been infected by this. Have you ever laughed when the coyote was attacking the roadrunner? If you answered yes, you could be the CIA's next operative in enhanced interrogation techniques. Because that's what you have to have. You have to have a person that loves that, that desires to create that pain. And it's been passed down to us through the ages, as pastors have been teaching us. The trained, the men that have been trained in covetous practices, sick in the mind from STDs. If you will, turn to Romans 1:28, please, on page 874. Romans 1:28 on page 874. It's very important that we get this in our mind, what pastor's been bringing out about the malice, about the blocked minds, about the sickness from the STDs. In Romans 1:28, it says, being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual impurity, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, and malice, backbiters, slanderers. If you drop down to verse 31, without understanding, they are covenant breakers and without natural affection. Remember, natural affection, the love of the many has grown cold. There is no natural affection with these men. And it's because of Deuteronomy 28. When we go back and we look at Deuteronomy 28, it shows us the blessings that come from keeping Yahweh's laws. But it also shows us the curses that come from breaking Yahweh's laws in verse 15 on, I think, for the through about 62. It shows us the curses. And in those curses are mentioned in all these things that you see taking place today. And the important thing to remember is that it's automatic. When you sin, there's going to be a curse come from that sin. It's come down through the ages. When the elders of the people turned against Samuel, when the Pharisees did their thing, the Catholic Church, the universal religion, the beastly Nimrod system. So remember, it's just like gravity. If you jump off a building, you're going to hit the ground. Depending on how high it is, you might die. So there is a curse that goes along with the breaking of that law, and it's the same thing with Yahweh's laws. If you will, can we see the video? Please watch this video closely and listen to what is said. You're going to see something here, and I'll bring it to your attention in just a moment.
Welcome back. So how do you and your family spend your free time? Camping? Studying? Reading? Well, surprisingly, a great number of people spend it in front of a television, playing video games, sexually explicit, violent, immoral games that's changing our society. The Supreme Court ruled on Monday, June 27th, that a California law banning the rental or sale of violent video games to minors was unconstitutional. The Supreme Court ruled on Monday, June 27th, that a California law banning the rental or sale of violent video games to minors was unconstitutional. 500 million video games were sold in 2010 worldwide. It's amazing the amount of time that people spend in an imaginary world allowing themselves to be influenced by violence, illicit sex, drug use, theft, and much, much more. It's no wonder that our children, young adults, and older men are allowing their minds to be influenced in ways that would eventually lead them to actions that would bring harm to themselves and others. Increased aggression due to hours of gaming, shorter attention spans, poor academic performance, and just a lack of motivation for improving themselves mentally. Since the government has washed their hands of this, and it's up to the parents who, as we reported earlier, spend time playing these games with their children to make moral decisions, who's going to take the helm to redirect the minds of our society in a positive direction? The answer is you. It's up to each and every one of us to take responsibility for our actions, and parents, to take responsibility for your children. In order to change our actions, we must change the way we think. The Peaceful Solution Character Education Program does just that. Now, as we reported in the past on our many trips with the Peaceful Solution Character Education Program, this program works by teaching an individual the difference between right and wrong, as well as showing them how to make right choices that will build positive character that will last a lifetime. This program works by teaching an individual the difference between right and wrong, as well as showing them how to make right choices that will build positive character that will last a lifetime. This program works by teaching an individual the difference between right and wrong, as well as showing them how to make right choices that will build positive character that will last a lifetime.
Praise Yahweh. Oh, please stay seated. Okay, so I hope you saw in there that the world believes that torture is okay, and it looks like they believe that violent video games are okay too. Judging by what was said there, the Supreme Court found that the banning of violent video games to youth was not was unconstitutional. So therefore, they had to go ahead and sell violent video games to youth. It shows how twisted their minds are, and it's because of these STDs that have been passed down through the years and their own actions. Now, we can overcome these things, though. And also, anybody that wants to be taught the Peaceful Solution Character Education Program, that is willing to learn the Peaceful Solution, you can be taught to overcome these things. And we know by experience, right? We have a teacher. And that's why we can learn how to overcome this. The teacher is Yisroel Hawkins. And he's taught us to teach others to teach, to teach others to teach the Peaceful Solution Character Education Program and bring a change to this world. Now, on those videos you just saw, in the IBN video, I encourage you to go to this website, which is quite kosher. It's the IBN News Channel. If you go there, you can watch that video in its entirety that shows all the data. Now, so these people, they can't make righteous decisions. They're filled with the desire to harm, and the Peaceful Solution Character Education is the answer. In fact, someone asked me the other day, is the Peaceful Solution necessary to keeping the laws of Yahweh? Let's go real quick to page 961. Page 961. That is 2 Kefa 1, page 961, 2 Kefa 1, verse 10 and 11. Here's the answer. Therefore, first of all, it's talking about in the previous verses, building moral excellence and self-control and responsibility and respect. And in verse 10, it says, therefore, my brothers, be all the more diligent to make your calling and election sure, for if you do these things, you will never fall. And in this way, an entrance into the everlasting kingdom of our King and Savior, Yahshua Messiah, will be abundantly supplied to you. And, you know, these people out here in the world, they're getting that message. In fact, you know, they're like, Hawkins Schmockins, this stuff works. They don't care about all that other stuff, you know? It works, and they're seeing it. I've got one last scripture I'd like to share with you. It's in Chagia 2, 8 and 9, and it's on page 715. Chagia 2, 8 and 9. Actually, verse 7, 8 and 9. It says, I will shake all nations and the most desired things, get that, the most desired things of all the heathen will come. Now, they haven't started throwing their silver and gold away yet because it's useless. They still think it's highly valuable. And so this is a very desired thing for them. And it says, I will fill this house with glory, says Yahweh. And if you look at the side note, letter C, it says the most desired things of the heathen is money, gold, etc. The most desired things of all the heathen will come and will fill this house. And Yahweh says in verse 8, the silver is mine, the gold is mine. And in verse 9, the glory of this latter house will be greater than the glory of the former, says Yahweh. And in this place, I will give peace. He will give peace, says Yahweh. Okay? So keep all that in mind and know that these people see this and they want the peaceful solution and they're ready to start throwing their silver and gold at us, their highly desired thing. And with that, it is my great honor and privilege, if you'll all please stand, to turn the services over to the great Khan, Ilya Hyler Hawkins.
Praise Yahweh. You may all be seated. You may all be seated. And like the great Kahans that spoke before, the future priest and the great deacon, this world is seeing these things come to pass. They are seeing that the world is falling apart around them. They are taking note of it. We have a government that realizes that, yes, these video games aren't proper. We have a chief justice and, of course, the panel that sits with him that, well, they define torture in many different ways. They don't exactly use the true way of thought that Yahweh has set forth. In fact, they are blind men groping at noonday, as was spoken of in Deuteronomy and also spoken of in Isaiah, that they would grope at noonday. Now, these answers they're looking for, they readily admit that their way will not work. But our government's caught in a pickle. On one hand, 500 million video games sold. And that was in 2010 when that IBN News article came out. 2010. Now, out of those 500 million, how many of those do you think went to children? Majority probably Christmas gifts to build up their children. Why? Well, I don't have time. You know, they spend better time at the video game. I don't have to put my time into them. It's convenient for me to do this. But we're destroying our children. But on the other hand, it's kind of hard for them to stand up when they use the same thing to train our military and they say we're going to find peace this way. So what do? They know it's falling apart, but they also know that we're training our military to do this. And they see, yes, they see that peace is not coming. In fact, I want to, these are some statements that I heard at the event that we recently went to. This was the lady who was over the event. She said, well, you guys asked us to check you out, so we did. And we looked at you. And they thoroughly checked us out. She said, you told us if we wanted you to come, call and you would come. And we did. She said, and you even told us that you may show up without notice to talk to us. And we had before. We showed up because we were there and we wanted to speak with them. To let you know how much they checked us out, the lady come up and she said, you know, when I prayed, I was going to use Yahweh, but I thought it would scare people. And before she left, she asked the future priest, she said, pray for me. They're not pushed away by the cunningness, the wickedness, and those who come against Yahweh's house. These people are seeing that this way is working. This was a huge panel. In fact, I want to read you something. This right here is the actual grant. This is what this is. I want to read you something off of it. And it says, our disbursement committee worked diligently and put much thought and consideration into the selection of the final proposal to fund out numerous applications that were submitted. Although we cannot always grant the full request, we are happy to be able to play a role in the success and worthwhile of programs such as yours. And it says, congratulations. We hope much success in pushing forth your program and this nation. And that was actually given to us in a grant, a very sizable grant, very, very sizable grant. And I tell you, this is a door to many. And one thing in the house of Yahweh, we know the money goes to the work. And that's, you know, when that lady gave it, she said, we know through what we see taking place when we checked you guys out, we don't see how you get the work done with what you guys have, but y'all get it done. So that's the people. That is the people pushing forth. That's the people putting forth what they love. Yes, they put their hearts into the work. Turn over to Isaiah chapter 2 and verse 2. This is a scripture we all know, Isaiah chapter 2 and verse 2. And we're going to read through verse 4. And of course, we all know this really, really well. And it says, and it will come to pass in the last days that the mountain, the promotion of the house of Yahweh, will be established in the chief nation and will be raised above all congregations. And of course, the nations will eventually flow to it, as Pastor said. They will eventually come. And many people will say, come and let us go up to that mountain, to the house of Yahweh, to the father of Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways. Now notice, teach us of his ways. In other words, they don't know. They don't have an idea of what needs to be done. We need to be taught. Now, I want everyone to truly think about your thoughts and how to deal with the world. And here in Abilene, in the house of Yahweh, the peaceful solution is taught on a very, I guess you could say, an advanced level. We know that when you control your thoughts, it leads to emotions. And in return, that leads to actions. We know that the brain is a storage facility. It stores knowledge. We know that our great teachers also told us that the heart makes decisions. And they work together. And he said, I've seen that in scriptures. The thoughts of the heart. Keep that in mind. Because where our treasure is, there our heart will be also. Where do we put our treasure in? But they will come because they want to learn of his ways. And we will walk in his paths. For the law will depart from Zion, and the word of Yahweh will depart from Jerusalem. Of course, here at Abel's, where it's departing from. And he will judge among the nations and will rebuke many people, and they will beat their swords into plowshares. Yes, these weapons of mass destruction, they're going to beat them into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation will not lift up sword against nation, neither will there be war anymore. No, there won't be a discussion over gun control. We won't need a national gun registry. No one will be thinking to shoot someone. They will actually consider their thoughts. They will come to a sensible solution before the thought could even enter their mind to harm someone. Praise Yahweh. Look over to Psalms. Psalms chapter 33 on page 446. Psalms chapter 33 on page 446. And we're going to start out with verse 8. And it says, let all the earth reverence Yahweh. Let the world stand in awe of him. Yes, let them see him in all of his glory. Great Yahweh speaks and it is done. Yahweh commanded and it stood fast. Yahweh brings the counsel of the nations to nothing. He makes the thoughts and plans of the people of no effect. Yes, their thoughts, their plans. Remember what malice actually is. Pastor also brought that malice is the plans of harm, to do harm to someone else, to be vengeful. You know, it's the same character that they've actually portrayed Yahweh to be. They've actually changed the scriptures to say Yahweh and all of his wrath will come upon him. But no, Yahweh says, you decide. This is the way I want you to go, but you choose. You go whichever way you want to. But you have to understand, you're going to have to live with the decisions you make. I'll let you go either way. But cursed will you be if you go this way. Blessed will you be if you go that way. Verse 12 it says, all right, let's go back up to verse 11. It says, Yahweh's counsel stands forever. The thoughts of his heart stands for all generations. Praise you, Yahweh. And then look down to verse 15. It says, he individually knows their hearts and sees their works. He knows their hearts and sees their works. Now look over to Eob, because Eob knew of these things, or Yashub, the book of Yashub. He knew of these things. He knew about the processes, these things, how they process through the body, and he spoke of these things. In Yashub chapter 17 and verse 11, Yashub chapter 17 and verse 11, so found on page 421, it says, "My days are past, my plans are shattered, and so are the thoughts of my heart." The thoughts of my heart. Now, why would his heart have thoughts? Why would the Peaceful Solution think to change the hearts and the minds of the people in these last days? Why is it so important to realize that the house of Yahweh is not a religion? No, that's a Baskin-Robbins kind of thing. There's one on every corner. And that's not to be insulting, but that's the truth. There's a religion for any way of life you want to live. And if you don't want to worship someone, well, there's a group for that too. Think about when you first came to the house of Yahweh. I've heard many mentioned many times, when in Rome, do as the Romans do. When you were first called to Yahweh's house, how did you get here? I remember receiving a prophetic word, and nothing in that prophetic word was provocative. It merely told me that unless I repented, I was going to suffer in a nuclear war just like everyone else who did not repent. How did we all come? Did you win something off of MTV? No. Absolutely not. What brought you here? Remember, believe that Yahweh has the ability to call whomever he desires as long as we will do what he tells us to do. We must think like Yahweh. We must become like Yahweh. Turn over to Jacob. Jacob, page 4, or page 954. Jacob, page 954. And chapter 3. And remembering that our great teacher has taught us, and he recently just reminded us, even that a thought of adultery, if you've thought of it in your mind, it's as though you've committed the sin. And he warned us very, very strictly, control the thoughts. Don't let them enter through your mind. And in verse 13 it says, chapter 3 and verse 13 it says, "Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show it by his righteous conduct, by works done in meekness." And that's humility that comes from wisdom. "But if you have bitter rivalry and strife in your hearts," yes, in your hearts, "do not boast and lie against the truth." And what is the truth? Well, we know King David spoke of the truth in Psalms 119 and 142 and 151 and 165. Of course, Yahweh's law is the truth. That is the truth. "And it shall set you free." Yahweh's law. Now, the wisdom does not descend from this wisdom does not descend from above, speaking of lies and, of course, strive, but is earthly, essential, and demonic. Yes, it's part of that other system. It's part of the other way of thinking, that revengeful way of life. "For where rivalry and strive are, there is also confusion and every evil work." Well, confusion, where does it come from? Leviticus 18 tells us where it comes from. The eating of unclean food also tells us where confusion comes from. Yahshua Messiah said that it's not what enters the body that defiles a man, but what proceeds from the body. When sin enters the body, there is a reaction. For every action, there's a reaction. Why did Yahweh say, "Do not eat swine's flesh"? Because once it enters your body, confusion will proceed out. Once you put something in your body that's not meant to go there, why are you not supposed to partake of the things in Leviticus 18? Once they enter your body, confusion, disruption, war, strife, lying, they proceed out. Well, these people at this event, they see that. They're tired of it. They want a better way of life. And they're crying out for it. They're truly crying out for it. Praise Yahweh. Now we who sit here at the house of Yahweh, let's turn over to Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 2. Proverbs chapter 2. And let's keep in memory what we're told to do. What are we told to do and how are we told to do it? You know, the young men have been going through Proverbs, and I think we honestly spent over I think it was 12 hours just on the first two chapters of Proverbs, and that was the scripture that they were coming up with, connecting them, and how they applied to the peaceful solution, and how it applies to our lives, and how we need to be here in the house of Yahweh. Yeah. I think we can make a huge difference if we had a justice system, and we could put a group of young ladies and a group of young men, set them apart, and let them make decisions. We could improve drastically just overnight. Why? Why? They don't have the pollution in their minds that we have been taught in our lives and that the world has been taught. Their thoughts are not polluted with the way of this system. Their thoughts are not polluted with bribery and, well, I need to make friends, so I think I'll rule this way for you and this way for you. No. They make judgments with equal weights and measures. That's the way they've been taught. That's the way our teacher has taught us. Praise Yahweh. In verse 3 of chapter 2, it says, yes, if you will cry for knowledge and cry aloud for understanding. Notice it doesn't say come to the house of Yahweh, attend the feast, and go back home. No, it says cry aloud for it. Don't just come in and expect something. Cry aloud for the peaceful solution, for all of these things to be in our lives. It's not a mystery to know that every one of us go through tests. And to be fair to those who we speak to in the world, we shouldn't expect more from them than what we're willing to give ourselves. That would be unfair in itself. But when we see these people and they speak to the young men, like one of the young men said, she said, you know, you're the future leaders. And one of the young men said, yes, I do. Now, is that being arrogant or conceited? No. The peaceful solution in the respect unit teaches you must know your value in life. You have to know what purpose you serve. And you know what? She was very pleased when he answered, yes, I do. I know. Because she said, well, it looks like you're willing to take on the job. And that's great. Because that's what they're all willing to do. Now, in verse 7, it says, Yahweh reserves sound understanding for the righteous, and he is a shield of protection for those who walk upright. A shield of protection for those who walk upright. Yes, they walk in these ways, like as Isaiah chapter 2, verse 2 says. And 4, they walk in the way. They come to the house of Yahweh and they say, where have I messed up? What should I do? They don't come to the house of Yahweh and say, let me tell you how you're going to do it and it's going to work. The only spokesman we have in these last days that can tell us how we're going to do it and how it's going to work is Yahweh's seventh mallet, and there is no other. Turn over to Romans. Turn over to Romans chapter 1 and verse 21. Chapter 1 and verse 21. And remember thoughts and remember character development. Character development. Keep that in your mind. In chapter 1 and verse 21, it says, once again, and this is a familiar scripture, it says, because that when they knew Yahweh, they did not glorify him. Yes, they did not rejoice in the education of this peaceful solution of this way of Yahweh as father, nor were they thankful, but they became idolaters in their reasoning, and in their senseless minds were darkened. And their senseless minds were darkened. If you look at the word senseless, it means foolish. Foolish, old fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Turn over to verse 29. And of course you can read the rest of those in between there, from 22 to 28. But let's look at verse 29. It says, being filled with all unrighteousness, of course certain impurities and wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, and malice. They are gossips. Yes, and malice. And malice. Now keep that in mind. Turn over to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. They did not glorify Yahweh whenever they had the opportunity. They didn't seek this way. They didn't come to the classes on the Sabbath. They didn't apply themselves where Yahweh actually begged them to. Yahweh's trying to give us something. He's begging us to do it. He wants us to do it. But he also says, listen, I'm asking and I'm giving, but you have to take it. If you leave it on the table, someone else will come get it. And it's free to them to get. In fact, we'll go out on the streets if we need to. And that's exactly what they said. They will bring people into this marriage supper if needed. Now in Ephesians chapter 4, in verse 30, It says, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit. And of course, we know the Holy Spirit is a character of Yahweh. It's not some kind of ghastly being. It is the character of Yahweh. So do not grieve Spirit Holy of Yahweh, by which you were sealed for the day of redemption. Yes, our redemption draws near. Let all bitterness, wrath, rage, anger, clamor, brawling, and evil speaking, gossip, slander, be put away from you, along with all malice. Along with all malice. Now, in the Unger's Bible Dictionary, of course, there's the definition for malice. And it says, of course, this is a Greek word that denotes a vicious disposition, evilness, or wickedness. And it's a kindred word in Romans 1:29, which is what we just read. It means bad character. Bad character. Negative character. Of course, that was given by Paul in his long list of Gentile sins and implying malignant subtlety of malicious craftiness. It's bad character. We must remove all malice from us. If we have negative character, if we do not strive to implement the peaceful solution, which are the laws of Yahweh, into our lives, we are malice. And we're actually teaching malice to others. We can look out into this world and see what's taking place with the children. We see children dying. We know what the answers are. We know we can fix these things. You want to know who the peaceful solution teachers are? Look beside you. Look behind you. Look at the feast when they come. Those are Yahweh's teachers. Praise Yahweh. These people are calling for us. Pastor told us years ago, cram for the exam. I hope everyone's cramming. If you haven't started, please, please start getting the books in. Please start reading them. Implement them into your life. I don't think anyone stands here ever and says, be perfect as this Kahan behind the podium is perfect, because that's not true. Hand in hand, as a body, do we work together? And as a body, will we make it? Praise Yahweh. Everyone, please, get behind our teacher by showing him that your treasure is where your heart lies. Attend the classes, apply the books, come, sit at the feet of the priest, learn of his ways, because we need a lot of teachers. You know, we always said that the only thing holding us back right now is funding. And we're still looking for the price of just one bomb to fund us. That would help. But you know, this group of people did not have to give what they did. But you're not going to... Soon you will understand how much Nora and what she did plays into this. May Yahweh bless you and all of your understanding. At this time, I would like to turn the services over to the next priest.